I read now from the 11th chapter of Isaiah. A shoot shall come out from the stump of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. His delight shall be in the fear of the Lord. He shall not judge by what his eyes see or decide by what his ears hear. But with the righteousness he shall judge the poor and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. He shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall kill the wicked. Righteousness shall be the belt around his waist, and faithfulness the belt around his loins. And now Isaiah's vision of this world. The wolf shall live with the lamb, the leopard shall lie down with the kid, the calf and the lion and the fatling together, and the little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall graze, their young shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. The nursing child shall play over the hole of the asp, and the weaned child shall put its hand on the adder's den. They will not hurt or destroy on all my holy mountain, for the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord, as the waters that cover the sea. On that day, the root of Jesse shall stand as a signal to the peoples. The nation shall inquire of him, and his dwelling shall be glorious. This is Isaiah's prophecy and our hope for today. Thanks be to God. Let us turn now, taken from 15th chapter and the 4th verse. But as it is written, the insults of those who insult you have fallen on me. For whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction, so that by steadfastness and by encouragement of scriptures we might have hope. May the God of steadfastness and encouragement grant you to live in harmony with one another in accordance with Christ Jesus, so that together you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Christ Jesus. Welcome one another, therefore, just as Christ has welcomed you, for Christ has become a servant of the circumcised on behalf of the truth of God, in order that we might confirm the promises given to the patriarchs, and in order that Gentiles may glorify the God of his mercy. And now he says, as it is written, and most scholars believe that he's referring to the words of some of the early Christian church hymns. And he says, as it is written, therefore I will confess you among the Gentiles and sing praises to your name. And again he says, rejoice, O Gentiles, with his people. And again, praise the Lord, all you Gentiles, and let all the peoples praise him. And again Isaiah says, the root of Jesse shall come, the one who rises to rule the Gentiles. In him the Gentiles shall have hope. May the God of hope fill you with all joy, peace in believing, so that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. The word of God for us, the people of God.
This is one of my very favorite times of the year here at Glenmar, for many obvious reasons, but one of them is Walk to Bethlehem. And Friday night, I got to play Elizabeth to my daughter's Mary, which means that I got to hug her about 50 times. If you are staying away from Walk to Bethlehem because you think the crowds will be so huge and the wait will be so long, Just know that it's flowed very smoothly this year, and we've had a lot of people come, but not a lot of waiting. So don't be put off by the prospect of a wait. Come see it and invite your friends. Let us pray. Gracious God, open our hearts and our minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that we might hear with joy what you say to us today, that we may hear with peace what you say to us today, and that we may hear with hope what you say to us today. In Jesus' name, who is our hope, we pray. Amen. Dave read for us from the prophet Isaiah. You may remember that Isaiah was called into ministry when he had a vision of the Lord in the temple. And God said, whom shall I send and who will go for us? And Isaiah said, here I am, Lord, send me. And if you've ever volunteered for something, you know, right after that, he quickly realized that what he had volunteered for was more than he thought at the beginning. Can I get an amen about that? And so after he's volunteered and he signed on the dotted line, God says to Isaiah that he's going to have Isaiah preach a hard word. Tell a hard word that the people that he's talking to are not going to listen to him. He said that up front. They won't comprehend it. They won't listen. And so Isaiah says, how long? How long are they not going to listen, God? And God offers this cheery Christmas word. Until the cities lie waste without inhabitant, and houses without people, and the land is utterly desolate, until the Lord sends everyone far away, and vast is the emptiness in the midst of the land. Merry Christmas. This hard word is a reference to the coming exile. A punishment, Israel thought, for the worship of other gods by Israel, and Israel's oppression of the poor. Part of God's how long speech continues this way. Even if a tenth part remains in it, it will be burned again, like a terebinth or an oak tree whose stump remains standing when it is felled. It sounds like what God has in mind is a kind of forest fire, this exile. Smoking destruction everywhere. Not much cause for hope. A Christmas with no Christmas tree, because God's cutting it down. Only smoke and fire and destruction, coal in our stockings, as far as the eye can see. That's earlier in Isaiah, during the call part. And yet, Isaiah's message, for all its fire and brimstone, here in Isaiah 11, has something amazing happening on this moonscape of forest fire. Consider the stump of Jesse. Out of the stump of Jesse, a green shoot will sprout, it says. So the forest fire doesn't sound like it's the last word at all. You'll recall that Jesse is the father of David. So presumably Jesse had done Jesse's job. He gave us David. That tree should be about done bearing fruit. But no, out of the line of David will come a righteous king. David had been king of Israel about 1000 BC, well before Isaiah came along. And yet, out of this dead stump of Jesse, another shoot will sprout. And Christians have identified this green shoot, this righteous branch, as Jesus Christ. The Hebrew word for branch is netzer. Jesus is from a place called Nazareth. Interesting, right? Can anything good come from Nazareth, that old stump of a place? A green shoot from an old stump. And the church sort of acknowledges this. Because while we may not be under threat from an invading army, we celebrate the birth of Jesus, our Savior, in the winter time, in the most desolate time of the year, in the bleak midwinter, when things don't grow, when trees look bare and dead, that's the time that we celebrate the sprouting of an unlikely green plant. Under the cold and snow of winter, a rose that waits to bloom. And it's a rose that we didn't plant, that we don't arrange for. It's a gift from God. It's not a miracle we make. God takes care of that. A way for all people to come to the light of Christ. A light for all the nations that will have him. A hope for every human heart. This little plant from Nazareth. Hope for the hopeless. And I'm not talking about the kind of hope that they try to sell you on QVC. I'm not talking about the kind of hope that you try to get from Amazon, which one-click ordering is very dangerous to me. I'm talking about a different kind of hope. I'm talking about hope rising up in the throats of people with a song that they had no business singing in the first place. Hope for a people in exile. Hope for every person that thinks they have run out of options. Hope that comes from Christ. What does that hope look like today? Well, it looks like these structures around the room. It looks like a couple thousand people that God sends to this place to come to walk to Bethlehem. Hope looks like Wish Upon a Star families who will have toys this Christmas because of what we believe about Jesus. They're not having presents because they earned it or they paid for it. They're having presents as a gift because of Jesus. That's hope. Hope looks like people around a table in January talking about their grief, processing some of their losses, and finding a path toward hope, a future with hope. Hope looks like a church that embraces people who grew up in all kinds of churches and come from all kinds of faith journeys, and even people who didn't grow up in the church at all. Hope looks like that. People who are embraced in a church who come together to proclaim Jesus Christ as Lord of their lives. When I think about hope, I think about people who had hope in the midst of great adversity. And one of those people for me is Nelson Mandela. You may remember he was the anti-apartheid leader. He was imprisoned for 27 years in this teeny little cell. And all that time, he was sustained by his faith and by hope. And hope, this hope led him to lead a people from oppression to freedom, which is hard enough. But he didn't stop there. He kept leading them through things that are harder, things like reconciliation, things like forgiveness. Is it any wonder that he said, "I don't believe in optimism. Optimism. I do, however, believe in hope. I believe in hope." The hope that God is bringing to us this Christmas, this righteous branch, is not some vague optimism. It's not, it's the most wonderful time of the year, and if it's not, it's all your fault. That's not it. It's not a good feeling. It's not optimism. It's hope that has a shape and a name, and that shape and name is Jesus Christ. That is our hope. We light candles and we wait with expectation, not for an unknown God, but a God we know. It's like waiting for someone that you know and you love that is coming over to your house and you don't have to clean the bathroom for them. That kind of hope. This shoot from the stump of Jesse. He's no ordinary king. Christmas is not even about us. Christmas is a reminder that God has intervened in our history and sent us the king that God wants us to have. A servant, a blue-collar baby of an unwed teenage mom who had a habit of acting in ways that look so countercultural and crazy. Let me tell you about this king. He judges with righteousness and mercy for the poor and the downtrodden. That's what it says in Scripture. He sees and hears with God's eyes and ears. He embraces little children and reserves the best places in the kingdom for people who make peace and people who are poor and people who seek first the kingdom of God. And it's actually pretty important for our hope that Jesus is both fully God and fully human. If Jesus were only human, not divine, he's just a good teacher. He's Nelson Mandela. No real power to save us, no resurrection hope. But he's not just some guy, he's God with us. So the God part is important. But the with us part is important too. It's just as important that Jesus took on our flesh. Because if Jesus doesn't take on our flesh, he remains remote. God is remote and untouchable. But we have a God who knows our pain because God took it on in Jesus. God knows what it feels like to be human. And so God can reconcile humanity to God's self. Now, I know Christmas is the most wonderful time of the year, but I'm also a pastor, so I'm going to tell you the truth. There's something about this time of year that makes us need the hope that is in Christ more than ever. There's something about Christmas that makes everything more difficult. It could be the expectations, you know, but pain and grief are amplified in this time of year. The hopes and fears of all the years pile up and they just sit at the kitchen table right in front of you. All the reasons that we get on each other's nerves seem easier to see around Christmas. And Madison Avenue is no dummy in this regard. They know about this, so they exploit it. And there's a reason that in addition to all the regular Christmas carols, we have Christmas parody songs. Christmas parody songs speak to this pain. They tell us something that is true about the holidays that Bing Crosby never sang about. So I'm going to give you a couple examples. One is a terrible song called Grandma Got Run Over by a Reindeer. The lyrics are really horrible. If you look at those and print them out, you'll never listen to it again. Grandma drinks too much eggnog. She has a medication mix up and gets run over, I kid you not, by Santa's sleigh. Grandpa, meanwhile, is curiously unaffected, drinking beer and playing cards with Cousin Nell. The family decides to send back Grandma's Christmas presents. Horrible, right? The first time you play this song for your kids, you're like, oh, it's Grandma Got Run Over by a Reindeer. You're going to love this song. The first time your kids hear it, they'll be horrified. They'll be like, you have lost your mind. Look what happened to Grandma. A couple years go by, they'll start singing it too. Another personal favorite of our families is a song called The 12 Pains of Christmas. The first thing at Christmas that's such a pain to me is finding a Christmas tree. This is followed by rigging up the lights, hangovers, sending Christmas cards, 5 months of bills. facing my in-laws, charities, whining children saying, I want an iPad for Christmas, finding parking spaces, stale TV specials. The song, The 12 Pains of Christmas, starts off very choral and very together and very major key, just like every Advent I have ever been a part of. All those good Christmas intentions, you know, this is the year. And by the end of the song, it spiraled into chaos. And the guy who rigs up the lights is my favorite, because he loses his mind through the course of the song. Throughout the song, he gets worse and worse, and he ends up saying, like, what? We have no extension cords? One goes out, they all go out. And why are they all blinking? And by the end, in the crescendo moment of the song, he slams the lights down, and he says, fine, if you're so smart, you rig up the lights. Merry Christmas, peace on earth, the most wonderful time of the year. These are hugely popular songs. Why? Because they touch the hurt places in ways that make us laugh. So we can make something funny out of dead stumps and volcanic smoking fields of pain and hurt and unmet expectations. The pressure of having to rearrange all the Christmas placemats just right so that maybe just this year our family won't be crazy. But here is the good news. There is a green shoot coming up from the stump of Jesse. Christmas does not depend on us. You can look it up. It is a gift from God. Jesus is sent to be God with us in our messy real life when we're rigging up the lights and they don't do the right thing. God with us to fill up our empty spaces that we try so hard to fill with shopping and food and alcohol. This Jesus has destroyed all the reasons that we need to be afraid of the dark of winter. The angel's message to scared shepherds was, fear not, I bring you tidings of great joy for all the people. The angels did not say, hey, shepherds, it's up to you to work this mess out. It's up to you to bring joy. We're waiting. How joyful do you think that was, Gabriel? Not that joyful. That's not how it works. This Jesus is the place that our hope lives, and this Jesus is what God gives us every Christmas. Now, Paul talks a lot about hope in this passage from Romans because it's in Jesus Christ that that salvation has come to the world, not just for the Jews and not just for the in crowd, but for everybody, the Gentiles, everybody, riffraff, everyone. Because Jesus has brought us into God's family, we can practice hospitality with strangers and even relatives because of what God has done. Not because we're nice. God has acted to fill our empty places and has loved the unlovable and has saved the unsavable, so I'm pretty sure God can handle our Christmas. This is the only Savior who could break through the hard stumps of our sin and despair. So Advent is a time to get our hearts ready to receive the gift of this Christ child. Not receiving a bunch of presents we don't need and we barely want. This green shoot breaking through the hard shell of doubt and pain and old hurts that we have tried to fix every other way. There's a hymn that says, love came down at Christmas. Love all lovely, love divine. Love was born at Christmas. Star and angels gave the sign. This love is strong enough to handle the hardest of Christmases and the most dysfunctional of families. I don't usually talk this much about songs in a sermon. The Rose "Oh, how a rose e'er blooming," is obviously very appropriate for the Isaiah scripture. But it reminds me of another song called "The Rose." It was sung by Bette Midler. I don't know if it reminds Bette Midler of Jesus, but when I hear it, I don't hear Bette's voice. I hear Isaiah's voice. I'm very strange. Some say, love, it's a river that drowns the tender reed. Some say, love, it's a razor that leaves your soul to bleed. Some say, love, it's a hunger, an endless aching need. I say, love, it's a flower. And I say, Jesus is its seed. And so today, Glenmar, this Advent season, hear Isaiah say to you, when the night has been too lonely and the road has been too long and you think that love is only for the lucky and the strong, just remember in the winter, far beneath the bitter snows, lies the seed that with God's love on Christmas Day becomes the rose. That's all we want for Christmas. And that's exactly what God is giving to us, our altogether hope. Amen.